This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to another episode of the BritRest Roundtable. We've been gone a little bit because we were gonna cover WrestleMania weekend, but then things happened. We got bogged down in the Champion Carnival, and also Progress didn't upload their shows. So here we are. I'm Ollie Court, and with me today is, of course, Arn Furious. Hello, Arn.
Hi. our last Skype conversation was on the 12th of February.
Ooh. Yeah, so it's been a while since we've had a regular episode. Obviously, we went to 16 Carat, which was lovely, and we got a lot of good hashtag content out of that. But yeah, back to the grind of the regular podcasting. And we, because of the whole WrestleMania, I'm not going to call it a debacle, but situation, we've got a bit of a bumper show.
You just did call
for
it
you.
A debacle.
So we're going to talk the Rev Pro show. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Progress shows. But mainly preview Super Strong Style 16, which is coming up next week, as we record, and also mention WXW True Colors, the first major show since 16 Carat, which we both watched and really enjoyed. So got lots of stuff to talk about.
Lots of good wrestling been going on.
Yeah, we're picking up again after 16 Carat. Bit of a lull since, but yeah, WrestleMania weekend's kicked us right back into gear. So I think we should talk about that. Starting with RevPro, I'd say, because I think the big news for BritRest coming out of the weekend is Tomohiro Ishii is our new champion.
He's our British champion.
Yes.
I was very happy with this whole show.
So was I.
I'm big on the idea that less is more, and they had one of the shortest shows of the weekend. They had the least number of matches on the card. And it was all killer, no filler. Everything was good up and down the card, nothing bad.
Yeah, only six matches, and like you say, no real filler, nothing that you really wanted to turn your attention away from necessarily. And all those last four matches I thought were really awesome, really a lot of fun, and what WrestleMania weekend is for, putting sort of matches you can't do any other time of the year because of geography. Everyone's all together in one place, so let's throw out some good matches. And obviously the New Japan link helped them a lot. They were unable to use a lot of their regular British wrestlers because of the visa situation, which was the source of another debacle after the weekend. But I think the way I understand it,
WWE had paid for certain people's visas, yeah. And because they paid for it, they're fucking, who the hell are RevPro? No.
Yeah.
Even though they've used their footage on the award-winning WWE network, apparently, the New Japan link is just too upsetting for them to cope with. Mm.
But it means we got to see Kota Ibushi, Juice Robinson, Tanahashi, and of course Ishii, our new champion, who will defend the title against Keith Lee in May. So this felt like a fun show for them, getting all these guys together. But also because Ishii winning, beating Sabre Jr., sort of ending quite a long reign for Sabre, and also setting up another match later on. It felt, significant for RevPro as well. It wasn't just a one-off show.
Yeah, it was a real meaningful show, and especially with the main event being what it was. Ishii and Sabre wrestled each other twice in New Japan.
I think once so, yeah.
Once in the United States and once, I think...
In the G1.
G1, yeah. But they were both really great matches, so when they booked this, I was like... I had another really good match.
It was very logical.
Sabre battling his way to victory, and that'll be that. But old Andy Q threw us a bit of a swerve with Ishii coming out with a belt. It's a hell of a move, but he's done it before with Shibata.
Yeah.
So it's not completely out of left field. It's something that he's considers doing all the time. It's like Minoru Suzuki's tag champ at the moment. So it's the kind of thing that they're doing as part of their New Japan friendship. If they lose that, they might be kind of fucked.
A little bit, yes. They are leaning very heavily on it right now, but New Japan is very good. So I'm not complaining.
I just don't want to go back to the days of just before the New Japan link when let's just say that the cards weren't quite as good.
I wouldn't say so, no. And luckily, I've never really known that era, so
yeah,
it's only been upward for me. I'm very lucky. But there was plenty of other great matches on the show as well. I thought Aussie Open once again looked sparkly good against Robinson and Tanahashi. Like, being in there with Tanahashi can easily, you know, get swallowed up by his charisma. But they more than matched it. Like, Kyle Fletcher's getting the best damn education in wrestling he can, because we're along with Mark Davis, he's just getting to wrestle all these amazing opponents.
He's getting to a lot of his career highs when he's, like, 18 years old.
Yeah.
So, it's like, oh yeah, I've wrestled Tanahashi already.
Yeah.
But where do you go up from there?
Well, tag league, like,
well, tag league, I guess, yeah. But, yeah, he's getting a lot of exposure at a very young age. But he seems to have a pretty mature head on his shoulders, so he's not he's not being a dick about it. And like Aussie Open have been grinding away on the UK scene. They're starting to show some rewards outside of the UK. I think I was a little disappointed at the reaction for them. The crowd were like way more into the other team here with Tana and Juice. I kind of get the feeling that the Americans get to see Tanahashi less than we do. So him being there is like a big deal for them, especially if you really can't stand Ring of Honor. So you're not going to see him there. So like this could be like a once in a lifetime for some of the fans that were in attendance. So
I will say RevPro do book the New Japan guys very well for like the special attractions that they are. Like Ishii has been very well built up to become British champion. Like, he's been in so many matches for them coming over. He's faced Bodum, he's faced Hiro. Yeah, so it feels very natural for him to represent RevPro in, like, the New Japan universe, to coin a phrase.
Poor Josh Bodum.
He's back in the UK, I hear.
Well, yeah, he would be. I know why, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
He was doing so well. He had two very good weeks in All Japan before.
Oh, Josh, why do you do this to yourself? It just infuriates me because he's really talented, but he just keeps like shooting himself in the foot, like the whole wrestling cult cup, where he just didn't bother.
Well, he's had to come back to reclaim that, obviously.
It's just so annoying.
Moving from tangent to tangent, Kota Ibushi and Will Ospreay. That was very, very exciting. Getting them in the ring for, I think, the first time. Oh, no, obviously the six-man at WrestleCon, WWN, Mercury Rising a couple of years ago. But that was a different Will Ospreay. This is, like, superstar-level Will Ospreay now. So this is kind of, like, the first time they've met as equals, I would say.
Yeah, I did a rundown on Will's WrestleMania weekend, and he had like seven matches, and six of them were over 4 stars, which is just ridiculous. And this was one of them. And they kind of had it easy here as well, because as soon as they walked out there, Ospreay and Ibushi, they both got these huge pops.
Yeah, like, and the crowd was up for literally everything that happened in this match, which just makes it very easy to have fun.
And when they tagged in at the same time, like, the noise for it was just like the crowd just wanted to see that match. It was just the whole way through, there was a load of great wrestling. I thought Flip Gordon in this match was terrific, because he had a couple of big spots over the weekend. Didn't shine in all of them, but this one, like, I thought he was really outstanding. This was almost like a Flip Gordon match with the Ospreay Ibushi encounter being like the headline that took away from like all of his hard work.
Yeah. Flip's definitely an interesting one because we, as you say, unless you're a big fan of Ring of Honor, we won't really have seen him very much, but he's going to be in Best of the Super Juniors. Like he's becoming more part of his bigger stage of wrestling now. So if he can go on the Osprey diet of keeping your mouth shut about flat Earth, I think he could become
so fucking stupid.
If he can sort of rehab himself on Twitter, then yeah, I don't see why not that he can't get to that same level as Osprey because he's definitely got that talent.
Yeah, I'd like to see him come over and do some stuff in the UK. He's a guy I'd be interested in seeing.
He was on that. The Uprising show that we just never talked about ever because we were both very busy and we weren't very interested in Bullet Club shenanigans.
I didn't even know that because I just completely blanked that show.
Yeah, he was Kid Lykos' replacement in the CCK Elite match that we will never talk about. We'll never see it.
No, there's no chance I'll ever watch that.
No. And also Minoru Suzuki versus Jeff Cobb. I thought that was a fun extra match on there as well. I thought Suzuki was just fired up for the weekend and really all year he's been excellent. And this was another match that suited his strengths, I think, with the more grappling-based fighting. You know, just a fun, logical match, I thought.
I was very fond of Suzuki in this match when he started laughing at Cobb's strikes.
Yeah.
So he did this to Tyler Bate in January, only to a much like further degree because he just kind of, I wouldn't say he humiliated Tyler in that match, but like he was very disrespectful of his abilities. So he kind of tried to do that to Jeff Cobb and it didn't quite work the same because Cobb's like a really big burly guy. But yeah, it was fun. He's always fun to watch Suzuki.
Yeah, and it's incredible that he's 50 years old. Like his body just doesn't look it.
He's 49. He's almost there. But yeah, it's insane that he's doing that at the age that he's at.
Yeah. So a very fun show showcasing the New Japan guys, which no other show on the weekend had to that extent. So yes, they're leaning very heavily on the New Japan link, but it's working for them.
They did have them on that WrestleCon Super Show, which is also that was a terrific show as well. There's a lot of good wrestling over Mania weekend, the hot weekend.
So do you want to tell us about Progress as well?
Did you see Chapter 66, the Mardi Gras?
I haven't actually seen any of it because this is incredibly unprofessional of me, but I didn't want to shell out the money. But
they did
my
like,
£8.
Like, well late, so...
I'd been trying to get through the Champion Carnival, so I prioritised that over Mardi Gras,
That's a lot of shows as well. I feel your pain. I've got...
A lot of shows.
I've kind of borrowed Jack Stevenson from 411, and it's like he's done like half of the shows, the reviews for them, so I haven't had to do... was it 15 shows so far? There's been a lot. So I've
got to get my Yutaka Yoshi, damn it.
He's been so bad. Sorry, we're getting like way off tangent there. So the Mardi Gras. When this show started, they did the Mustache Mountain Grizzled Young Vets thing. Like we've seen this before, but like in front of a new crowd, they were completely into all the banter and the comedy that they were doing. Really great start to the show. From that, they go to Ospreay versus Haskins, which that's always a good match. And it was phenomenal again. You had Haskins going after the injury, and I went 4.25 on this. It was a really good match. And then after that match was Ringkampf against David Starr and Keith Lee. And that match was phenomenal as well. So it's like you come into this this show in front of what has been a much maligned crowd in the, Pontchartrain Center? Like they seem to think the acoustics were bad. Or so I've heard from certain people. And they came out and just killed it. Like a match to heat the crowd up. And then two like outstanding matches. And I was sat here going like, this show's going to be an all-timer. It's fucking incredible. We're three matches in and the worst match is like 3.5 stars. And then they did the Thunder Bastard match with a load of the American guys in there, Darby Allin, who got a concussion, and Chris Brooks. And the pacing of this match was an absolute disaster. It killed the show dead. And like half an hour later, they'd actually finally got to the end of it. And it was just, that was it. Show was dead.
I just thought it was a very strange lineup to have eight guys, only like five of them had ever been in progress, or three of them had ever been in progress before, and chucking guys out without a lot of explanation.
It did not work.
Putting me off.
It didn't work at all. I kind of wish I'd skipped it, but obviously I reviewed it for Voices of Wrestling, so I had to sit through it and all the way through. I'm going like, this is just so long and uneven. And like, it started off, they had all the guys come out, like one after another, with nothing happening. Then they did a bunch of fast eliminations, and they had like MJF cut like a promo in the middle of it. And I think that might have been just so Darby Allin could recover, even though he got a concussion and never should have come back in the match. And yeah, it took him like half an hour to get to Jeff Cobb winning, it was terrible. And yeah, the show pretty much didn't recover from that, except there's a very, very good match with Pete Dunne, Mark Andrews, and Flash Morgan Webster doing like a three-way babyface sprint, which the only problem with that is that Webster's a heel, but he just played babyface for this match for some reason. It didn't really work, but then it was a really good match because like Dunn and Andrews and Webster have all got that great chemistry with each other, so they just went out there, did 11 minutes, and it was great. But that was pretty much it for the show in terms of good stuff. It was quite disappointing that it started so strong, like with those first three matches. I was like, this show is going to be phenomenal, and then it just fell completely off a cliff. Now I need to find my notes for the other show.
Bourbon is also a biscuit.
Bourbon is also a biscuit.
Obviously, Walter versus Zack Sabre Jr. was the highlight match of the weekend, really, for Progress.
They did some decent stuff on this, but it was a little bit slower to get going. So the first couple of matches were not really of any consequence. You had Ospreay. They actually did an intergender match. So Ospreay and Kaylee Ray versus Austin Theory and Ginny was not just a mixed tag. It was like a proper intergender, which I felt a bit weird to start with. But like, I've never had an issue with them, with any company doing intergender, but it just seemed weird that that's how it was introduced. Just Will decided they were going to have an intergender match, so they did. And they did some fun stuff in this. They did like a voodoo doll thing where Kaylee Ray was controlled by a doll, and it was very lighthearted, and it was a way for Will to not like break his neck
after in every single
match. He had like weekend. Six of his seven matches this weekend were like him flipping onto his head, so to have one where he just didn't have to was kind of good for him in his long term health, so he doesn't end up paralyzed. Then they kind of the show picked up after that, because he went into they had Havoc, Haskins, and Flash against Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, and David Starr.
I know Joe Lanza was freaking out about this match.
This was so much fun. Like, this was like the you know, everything starts to pick up from here match. And I'll tell you what, I'll just explain my favorite sequence in the match. So, you know, Flash does his whole, like, hands up, test of strength thing, and then headbutts his opponent. So he did that to Riddle, who either hasn't seen him wrestle or just doesn't care. And he just took the spot. But David Starr, like, as soon as, like, Flash does his hands in the air thing, David Starr just punched him in the mouth because he's seen him wrestle and he knows the spot.
Yeah.
And then you had them do it again with Keith Lee. And Keith just completely no-sells it. Like, looks at him like, what was that? When he headbutts him. That was the kind of level of fun that they did throughout the match. And it was real good fun. And then right on the back of that, they did Walter and Zack Sabre Jr. I don't know if you've seen the last two of their matches. They had one in PWG last year that Dave Meltzer gave 5 stars to. I didn't think it was quite that good. Then they had another match in Evolve in January, which I had pegged at 4.5. But even with high expectations, I thought this match was better than both of those matches. I felt like they kind of got used to each other a bit more. And Sabre's performance in this was just phenomenal. Like, when he came in, he was like, I'm the best wrestler in the world, and I'm going to show you why. And he kept slapping Volta in the face, just like, I'm going to slap him in the face. I don't care what happens. I'm going to slap you in the face. I'm going to wear you down. And he was taking the chops and still being cocky and just coming back and trying something else. And it was an incredible match. Like, the Sabre's, like, his tactics, his aggression, his cockiness, and his skill combined, along with him running headlong into, like, Volta's offense, and Volta selling because, like, Sabre worked both his hands to try and eliminate the chops. It was like a perfect storm of professional wrestling, Ollie.
Well, they are the two guys right now. Them and Ospreay really are kind of taking over the world of indie wrestling right now. Obviously, Sabre and Ospreay more so in Japan, and Walter more so in Europe, but in America, they do find these moments to shine in front of maybe a bigger audience. And yeah, Walter versus NSJ has always been a lot of fun. They know each other very well from WXW, and they always have those physical, heated matches, so I'm not surprised to hear about the slaps.
Yeah, no, but this was just fucking great. This might actually be my favourite match from all of the Mania weekend.
Yeah.
It was that good.
Excellent. I'm definitely going to check out some of these matches when I spring for the Demand Progress next month, but I'm currently on a money-saving spin to try and get to Japan next year. So
No, okay.
There's a higher cause for my lax.
Okay, so that basically was the show, because, like, once that had happened, you can't follow that. So there was two matches after that. Grizzled Young Vets against Ricky Shane Page and Ethan Page, which is there. And Travis Banks against Jeff Cobb, which was all right. And that you just couldn't follow it. And that's what you get in wrestling sometimes. If you put a match on and it's that good, you've got no chance afterwards. Yeah,
doesn't
no chance.
Necessarily have to be the title match at the end.
No, this should have been the end of the show, really.
But
you need to see this match, is what I'm saying. It's a fucking great match.
So, following on from all that progress talk, let's have some more progress talk. with Super Strong Style 16, obviously the flagship event of their calendar, really, other than obviously the Wembley show coming up. This is their big 3-day weekend, much in the same vein as 16 Carat. 16 men, one winner, one title shot. And out of the guys in the tournament, we've got Pete Dunne, Keith Lee, Zack Sabre Jr., Doug Williams, Angelico, Mark Andrews, Flash Morgan Webster, Chuck Mambo, Chris Brooks, Jordan Devlin, Joey Janela, TK Cooper, David Starr, Tyler Bate. The Grizzled Young Veterans, they get to pick which one of them, and Cassius Ohno from NXT. Who do you see winning the tournament on?
Tyler Bate. I honestly think they should have done this last year. They didn't really know how to do the Travis Banks angle, so they probably just should have not done it. And instead, they could have gone with Tyler. When he was still in British Strong Style, then they could have had him turn face, go up against Pete Dunne to win the belt, and then you would have the whole thing of Trent Seven not knowing who to side with, being caught in the middle of it. It would have been interesting.
The problem with the British Strong Style stuff now is that they ended their story and they did sort of like the leaving the territory angle, but they're still here.
Yeah.
It's very awkward. But in this kind of tournament environment, that means less. And obviously with Ohno coming over, like, it's almost like it doesn't even matter anymore. Like, you can represent NXT in this tournament and it doesn't really matter. So I'm less worried about this tournament, but, like, going forward with a big 6-month angle centered around British Strong Style, it might get tedious.
Last year I felt that's the angle I could have done. But, like, with Tyler winning, I think he's basically, of the guys that are in this tournament, he's available, he's incredibly talented, and they haven't done him as champion.
Yeah, so they've never really done him in a main event capacity.
No, and he's great in singles, and he seems to get stuck in the Mustache Mountain team now. They've kind of reunited them. I mean, I do love that as a team, but he's losing out on these opportunities. But he's still really young, so I can see why they've kind of let it go a little bit longer. But if you look at the field, like, how many other potential winners are there? You've got Pete Dunne, who's already held the belt. You've got Keith Lee, who has already had title shots. And I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be around on the indies for. You've got Sabre, who is based in Japan now and probably won't be on a lot of shows, so I can't see him winning. You've got Doug. I know they're doing a... I think it's a great angle that they're doing with Doug with the like one last shot. That interview that Glenn Joseph did with him, I think they called it Tightrope. I can't remember. It's on their YouTube channel. But that was a really good interview, and it kind of set up the whole like one last go for Doug, which is this. But I can't see him winning the tournament, because then, like, where do you go from there? Angelico, I don't think, is over enough. Mark Andrews has got the feud with Eddie Dennis, so that'll obviously knock him out of the tournament. Flash, maybe, but he just had a kind of a nothing title shot that nobody cared about. Chuck Mambo is in there as like a gutsy like academy guy comes good spot, which I love Chuck, but like he ain't gonna win. Chris Brooks maybe. Devlin, who's hardly been in progress, I can't see that happening. Janela is an import. We're not really sure like how many people are gonna be that in love with him. TK maybe. Star maybe. Tyler, I think, is a definite for at least the final four. And Chris Hero is like, he's not going to win, is he?
You've made a compelling argument on. One person I'm really disappointed not to see in the tournament is Mark Davis, because he had the killer match with Walter, and Walter's going for the Progress title. I just feel like that could have been something they could have been setting up. Even if Davis didn't win, at least start to push him as more of a main event commodity, because he's clearly ready for it. He's clearly on that level. So I'm a bit disappointed that they have chosen to select some of those guys who are more on the fringe. Like, I don't get the Doug Williams thing at all. Maybe because I didn't like watch him.
Yeah, you're probably too young to get the Doug Williams thing, to be fair. But I think enough people will get it that it'll be good.
Yeah, and Chuck Mambo, like, I really don't like seeing him in here, because he's never been on the shows, so why should I care about him? Like, it just seems like such a random person to put in. Like, if they'd been using him on the shows for, like, the last 6 months, and this is his shot, a bit like Sexsmith in last year's tournament.
He's been in a couple of shows, but maybe not enough.
Yeah, he's not had anything to sink his teeth into. Not, like, he's not been featured. Like, he was in the comedy jobber 8-man went on the snow day when nobody else turned up. Like, that's kind of the level that
he's in. This could be the start of something for him. Like, might fluke a pin on somebody, and there you've got, like, there's a feud for the next, like, 3 months.
And also, like, could you imagine if, come G1 time, when they're announcing the blocks, and they sort of show a split graphic with Evil and Sonata in the same slot, and they say, oh, they get to decide between them who's in. Like, just say Gibson. Why not?
I don't know. I really don't know. That is I didn't even mention it, because I don't know who's going to be the guy out of those two. I mean, Gibson's been in it before, so presumably Gibson, but then...
Because Gibson, I could see winning it, because now that he is WWE UK, you know, he's shown how good he is for such a long time. I could see him going all the way now.
I could see Gibson winning it, which is why it's probably going to be Drake.
Yeah, Drake in the first round, yeah.
I mean, I don't like to crap upon the booking here, but when assembling a field for a tournament, it's not just putting together, like, guys who are exciting, because obviously, like, Pete Dunne, like, anyone would love to have Pete Dunne in
there. It's
tournament.
A very good field, but I just don't feel like it's a cohesive field. Like, it's a great list of names.
Yeah, but, like, are these guys actually have any shot at winning here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you look at the people who are actually likely to win, it's a very short list, which is not good for getting yourself hyped up for the tournament, because you're like, well, you know. But then I said Travis Banks was going to win like 2 months before Strong Style last year, and that's what happened. It was I think everyone was saying that was what was going to happen.
Yeah, just that was more on the nose than this is. So they've at least upped it from last year. But Cassius Ohno being in there is obviously the big newsworthy item. What do we think about that? And obviously where the WWE relationship is going?
Well, they've had matches on Access, didn't they? So it's... I don't know. I honestly have no idea where it's going, because you'd think if they were going to do something where they were like a feeder, like an official feeder promotion, like to NXT, then they'd have probably have done that by now. It just kind of feels like there's an affiliation there and it's loose, and that's what it'll be forever.
Yeah, we've still been talking about it for like over a year now and nothing has really come of it. So yeah, difficult to know what to make of it.
And I don't think you should read too much into like Ohno being used, because PCW used Apollo Crews recently, and
yeah,
nobody's talking about PCW being potentially on the network. It's just something where they rang him up and went, can we borrow him? Yeah. We're like, all right.
And these guys at WWE don't have like any bigger plans for who can drop a fall, no problem. They are more willing to give them away.
Yeah, I wish they'd kind of gone for somebody different, because like Hero's done it before. It's the same when they have like Jack Gallagher back, or they had Tommy End once, like a couple of months after he'd signed. It's like, if you have that relationship, is it possible to do something else with it? Do something a bit more unpredictable? I don't know. But then I don't know what it's like, so.
We're not wholly up on the tournament lineup. I think probably the most interesting match of the weekend will produce is Travis Banks versus Walter, because that is champion versus champion. Walter has been the de facto main champion of Progress for quite a while now, just because he's come across as just such a bigger deal. He had the main event against Timothy Thatcher. Like, this almost feels like Banks is challenging Walter more than Walter's challenging
Walter
Banks.
Walter has overwhelmed Travis's run, because he's been that constant figure on the undercards, where he's been having match of the night, he's been the standout performer on every show. But I really don't know where they're going with it here. Are they doing the Atlas title away?
I really hope they pull the trigger on Walter as champion, because that's basically what he's been already, so why not just make it official? He should be the main eventing the Wembley show. They've got to start thinking, like, I'm sure they are thinking about what's going to go on last at Wembley, but it can't just be a twee, you know, WWE match, like Dunn versus Bate or whatever. I feel like it needs to be something storyline significant.
Yeah, and I just don't see Travis Banks headlining that show. I just don't think it's going to happen.
No, neither do I.
So yeah, I hope Walter wins as well. Nothing against Travis, like Trey, lovely guy we've both spoken to.
And it has been a good reign for Banks, I would say. Like, he has had good matches. It hasn't really gone the way that they wanted it to.
The one thing you're guaranteed from this tournament is good matches, because you look at the people that are in it, and the matches are going to be great, because those are just, it's a phenomenal field of talent. It's just when we're looking at who could potentially win it, and like, why would they? It's hard to pick people out. I'm sure they'll look at the list and go that they think they've assembled like a really good field for this, but you can see why other people think not.
Yeah, I just can't see the excitement building over the 3 days. It's like, who's going to win? Who's going to win? Like, we're not going to be all huddled around the board on Sunday being like, or on Bank Holiday Monday.
Not
even,
like we did
like
with WXW with the 16 carat, where we're trying to make a case for all the semi-finalists and we're like, oh, they could all win.
Yeah, like if Angelico makes it to the semi-finals, we're not going to be like huddled around thinking he's going to main event Wembley.
I'm more excited to see what matches get thrown up. Like,
yeah,
because there should be some really like off-the-wall stuff going on.
Definitely. Yeah, much like the WrestleMania weekend, they have a good chance here to mix and match some guys, and some guys who maybe they won't be able to use in a year's time. Like, they'll be able to make some interesting matchups here. Obviously, Zack Sabre Jr., he's heading off to Japan more often now than he was before, like with New Japan full-time. Keith Lee, we don't really know what his future is. Oh no, we're only getting him for a weekend. So, like, this is an excellent opportunity to throw in Jordan Devlin, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, and, like, prove Europe's best against these big international stars.
Yeah, I think the latter stages of this tournament are going to be pretty loaded. I don't know who's going to be in it exactly, but if you have guys like Pete Dunne, Keith Lee, Zack Sabre Jr., these are world beaters.
Yeah, I'm just frustrated that Mark Davis isn't in there, because he's kind of proven himself in progress and he's one of their more interesting characters.
You have to wait for it to play out.
Of course. And also we've got Tony Storm versus Charlie Morgan for the women's title. That's kind of just building to their Manchester show, because we know Ginny's getting the title shot there, and that'll be Storm versus Ginny, because of course it will.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they've been building towards pretty much ever since Tony won the belt, so I think they'd have probably done it here if Ginny hadn't got injured. But obviously they need a big lineup for the Victoria Warehouse show, so it's ended up there instead. And to me, you don't really need a big women's match on this weekend. It should be a good match, because Charlie Morgan's really good. It's a chance for her to get more attention.
She's had like a bad run in progress right since she began, so this is a much better chance for her to stand out in a singles match rather than in all these weird wacky tag matches she's been put into.
Of course she's doing that like the day after she headlines Your Call, so
yeah, big weekend for her.
I say headlines, like, I'm really not expecting that to go on last on the...
Do we want to talk about Wrestling Queendom, or do we have any hot takes?
I'm going to it. There's a lot of people I know that are going to it. I think the hottest take is that some communication should have happened between Progress and Eve. They're running a show on the same day in the same city, and... Progress are not going to finish in time for people to go to...
That really is a disaster.
So people are actually going to leave Progress early to go to Eve.
That is... It's a bad look on both of them, really, for not being able to organise anything there.
And if Progress are looking at it and going, like, oh, Eve isn't a draw, like, no one's going to go to that, you've got Mako Satomura on that show, you've got Aja Kong... these are draws for like the hardcore smarky smarks that are going to be going to Super Strong Style. It's like they're going to want to go see that.
Yeah, just bring your earmuffs.
You're going to have people leaving before the show finishes the first night.
Yeah.
And I might actually have a word with somebody about it, because I'm just like, you're going to have a lot of people leaving. It's going to look bad.
Yeah. If Walter versus Banks is going to be like a big moment for you, you don't want a half empty arena because everyone's pissed off to go see Aja Kong. If you only had to attend one show, which would you attend? Queendom or Night 1 of Progress?
Well, there's two more nights of Progress, so I would go to Eve.
I'm
going to both shows, but I will have to leave Strong Style early to go to Eve. That's just the way it is.
It's wacky. Yeah, it's very wacky.
It's one way or the other. You can either finish Progress and go late, or leave early, and because you don't want to miss, like, if they put Aja Kong on first, then you've missed Aja Kong.
They'll probably put their political rally on first though, so you'll be okay, I think.
And then it's off to the Dundee Arms, so that's day one sorted. And I'm going to Fight Club Pro the night before, so it's a proper weekender.
I definitely hope you have a good time. I may well be joining you as well. I need to sort my week out and my life out, basically. So, we have one more topic to talk about, and it's WXW True Colors, because Walter and Ilya Dragunov had a collision. It was very good, and we need to talk about it.
We certainly do. So, the match itself was obviously phenomenal. The quality of the wrestling in this, I thought, was at least on a par with the final of Carrot from last year. Emotionally, I don't think it was on the same level. But it did help that it was in Ilya's hometown. So he did have that crowd support. And Volta really beat the shit out of him here.
Oh yeah, Walter healing it up made this match a lot different to the 16-carat final and the championship match from last month. Like, I felt this was certainly not more physical, but just like that kind of twinge of hatred, I guess, that wasn't there last year.
Yeah, and like Dragunov was barely healed up from this year's carrot. It was
he was just hitting the same wounds from earlier. Awful, awful visual.
I always said this is like an ideal pair, these two, because you've got Volta who can dish it out like absolutely nobody else in the world in terms of how violent his offense is. And then you've got Ilya Dragunov who can take abuse like nobody else in the world. So it's a great pairing. And their chemistry, I think, is getting a little better. So we might actually end up at someday having a better match than this, which is astonishing to think.
Yeah. I mean, Dragunov's just like, his comebacks don't feel forced. They don't feel Super Cena-esque. Like, he literally goes through hell, walks through hell.
Yeah.
And that's his character. And it feels natural that he is able to come through on the other side and still beat Walter, despite just getting the living shit kicked out of him in the match.
So this kind of creates an issue, though. And this is what I wanted to talk about Ilya. Yeah. Like, his style of wrestling is where he ends up basically physically destroying himself every time he competes, to the point where like he struggles to move after the matches. He really is that beaten up. He said to us in a press conference that is his aim in a wrestling match. Like, if he doesn't feel that, if he doesn't feel like he's taken it like a real savage beating, then he doesn't feel like he's done his job. As champion, he's basically your touring main event, whereas before he was more of a special attraction down the card. So the question that I've got for you is, can he actually keep it up? Because he needs to be like healthy, but at the same time he feels he needs to put in this level of performance.
It's always a worry. Yeah, I mean, you look at Bishop Arthur style, what happened to him. It's of course a worry, but like, you just got to let him do it. Like, he is such an incredible performer because he lays it all on the line. They've stuck the title on him because he is the most compelling guy they have, and it's not like he's killing himself in every, like, he had the 6-man tag on Shotgun where he's just like playing it up and having fun with it, and I think probably didn't take a single bump in the entire match. So it's not like
he needs to have more matches like that, because he's just getting destroyed out there.
I think if he can save it for just these big matches, like twice a year maybe, where he just gets pummeled, I'm okay with that.
Well, they had a bit of an issue. So the tour kind of continued on after True Colors, and there were like another 2 shows, I think, that he wasn't on that he was supposed to be on. And like, he made special appearances, but he couldn't wrestle.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't medically cleared. And,
well, they've always had this sort of part-time contract with him. I guess he's...
Yeah, but he's the champ now.
If and when. Yeah, he is the champ.
And this isn't WWE. You can't do the Brock Lesnar thing. Like, if you're the champion in WXW, that's a big responsibility.
And they've told us all about that as well. Like, you got to be the main man on the poster. You got to be in the main event.
Yeah.
But do you want to lose that specialness that is Dragunov?
Well, no, I don't. So that leads me to a second question, which is, do you see it being a long title reign?
Well, they're rematching Superstars. So I could definitely see Walter beating him there, because Dragunov beating Walter 4 times in a row seems unlikely. And obviously Walter's the big name internationally, and so if he's carrying the he's lost the tag team title, so if he's carrying the big title around to go to America or wherever, you know, that's free advertising for them. So I definitely see it ending as soon as next weekend.
Which would be unfortunate, because like, the Ilya story has been, it's just been so well told that to have him just come into the main event here and have this run of what, 2 months, and then it be all over, it just, that would feel so anticlimactic. It's a tough decision, it really is. Like, booking wrestling is not easy.
Especially when it's, you know, someone like this, someone who is such a talented wrestler, but in a special situation. Like, they took him out of all their shows for 2 months just to hit that big title win home.
Mm.
Like, you can clearly see the Jacobean style of booking. I've always wanted to say that. Takes risks, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you've got to use these guys in the best way possible. So that means for some of them, use them every night on the undercard. But for Dragunov, you know, it's a special case, so...
Well, he's a special wrestler. It's very difficult to do what he does all the time.
If this was someone else, I'd say, yeah, definitely he's got to change his style or, you know, only use him on the undercard or whatever. It kind of does feel like the Shibata parallels are there. You just hope that it doesn't end the same way Shibata did.
Yeah, no, I hope not, because he's just phenomenal. Great guy.
Yeah,
also phenomenal again. It's like three times.
Walter Dragunov Bad Bones is my favorite match so far this year, and this is number two. So it just looks like I've copied the same match twice on my big match of the year list.
Yeah, I don't start ranking things until the end of the year because I kind of want to let it sink in, which was more important in the long run of things, you know. But yeah, both of these matches, this the singles match from True Colors and the triple threat from Carrot were just great. Great matches.
Yeah. Anything else on the show you really want to talk about? Obviously, Marius Alani versus Absolute Andy continues as like the secondary feud from the top with Andy. Great visual of him getting his contract back for winning 16 Carat.
I've actually got that right in front of me now. It's that picture of him on top of the ladder.
Yeah. Like this one took a while to get going. It was very, you know, walky brawly, but the strength of the characters saw it through, and by the end, like, there was some proper drama going on here.
Part of my, I was starting to have issues with this match as it was developing.
Yeah,
because like you had Alani. I don't like him being a ninja.
He has turned into Mr. Some Bullshit, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. But when he pulled the fan out, I was like,
"Oh yeah, it's a bit too much."
Although he did kick Andy's ass with it, and I was kind of impressed with it.
Mm. I think he, like, if he drops the Mr. No Bullshit moniker entirely and just leans into the ninja stuff like that, you can sell that. It kind of reminds me of Kazushi Sakuraba. Like, he's an ass kicker, but he also is a dweeb and like has fun with it. So if he can lean into that more and away from Mr. No Bullshit stuff, like pick one or the other.
I think the problem is
this can work.
That he thinks he's like looking really badass and everyone else thinks he looks
like
a dork.
Yeah, he looks like an idiot. Like it's okay to look like an idiot, but yeah, you can't sell it as, oh, I'm using my ninja skills on you.
Yeah. Although he did some pretty cool stuff in this, like the climbing up the ladder with his hands taped behind his back.
That was special, yeah.
It was terrifying. I was like, he's going to fall. He can't climb without your hands, surely.
And Andy is doing special stuff with his character right now.
Yeah.
Like, even with like the walking brawl stuff, it was compelling because he is your dar and you want to beat him.
Well,
like, just everyone is against him because you want to see him get knocked off the head of the table.
I've been saying this all along, but I always felt that Alani should have been the one to turn. And while it has hurt him that he didn't turn, Andy turning has massively amplified his character. He's come out of this the absolute winner. Not only just winning this match, which was great, by the way, but also with his character change, he's just come out of this like such a winner.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a shock, really, just how well he's doing. Like, obviously, winning Carrot is a big deal. But yeah, he's really like the focal point of their storylines right now, and he's being able to carry it, which you wouldn't have even dreamt of 7 months ago before the turn. Like, you would have thought, he's on his way down the card, and now he's shot right up.
He's like an old comedy guy who was good in a tag team, but
he's all over the timeline now. And speaking of like looking like a dork but selling it really well, Andy, like, he's kind of a comedy character still, but he's just selling it so well. Like, it's really good stuff.
I like the sunglasses and the towel and the whole. Yeah.
You just want to supplant him at the head of a table. Like, he's the guy. He's your dad cutting. Carving the turkey at Christmas, and it's time for Alani to take over the mantle.
Yeah,
but he's not there yet.
Nah, he's not.
So, you know, they've taken me on this journey. I'm fully on board. And it's kind of a surprise just how well it is working.
Speaking of journeys, they did a lot of stuff with Rise on this show.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of surprising to me, because I did not expect them to go in this direction this quickly.
Yeah. Well, with the Klinger stuff and him getting suspended, they have just kind of hit fast forward here. I feel like this was always kind of the end goal, but after months and months. But obviously, without Bad Bones, you can't really work it. So they have just decided, yeah, this is what we're going for now. We are going to make a boy band.
I really liked the whole pointing thing where they pointed yeah. higher because like Bounce is going to take them higher. And I just looked at that and was like, yeah, but it's Pete Bouncer. The trouble with this is like he's gotten so over, and I think everyone has forgotten that he's not a very good wrestler.
Look, if the six man that Ilya was in on Shotgun, that it was Bouncer, Kid, and Kiev versus LAX and Dragunov on Shotgun, Bouncer was really good in that. I think just being more over and having the more confidence, it's going to help him a lot. Like, oh, he's sure. never going to be an Ilya Dragunov or a Walter, but I think he can, like, especially with the Mac, who we know is, again, not the best wrestler on the roster, but he can sell these, like, heavy story matches as he did against Bobby Guns last year. I think they can do some really cool stuff with that feud. And yeah, his abs are lovely. So it's funny how, like, we notice his abs more. Like, all wrestlers, this is, you know, you're going to have to indulge me here. All wrestlers, like, shirtless for the most part, but because they all wear their tracksuits, it means more when he undoes his tracksuit and, like, oh, look at Pete Bouncer's lovely abs. Like, those layers of meaning, they can even do that with a tracksuit. Like, that's how much thought they've put into this Rise stuff.
Yeah. I still say the big winner of the whole Rise angle is Lucky Kid.
Yeah, he just main evented a show against Zack Sabre yeah. Jr. for them, so they're going to take him far. And, like, now that they are the babyface boy band, he's going to have to do the heavy lifting work rate-wise. Oh, try yeah. saying that five times. And he's more than up for the task.
Well, he's the outstanding wrestler in the group now, which is... I mean, imagine saying that same time last year. It's like... Here's this bunch of guys. Oh, by the way, Lucky Kid's going to be like the man out of these guys in yeah. a year.
And I feel like that was always the point of Rise in the first place. They wanted to find some new stars yeah. for them. And like we said this time last year, pretty much, if even only one of those guys hits, it will have been worth it because, you know, it just throw everything at the wall to see what sticks. And Lucky Kid has certainly stuck, has Pete Bouncer. Like, maybe not in the most traditional work rate way, but Pete Bouncer is doing really good stuff. He's the guy on the roster I'm probably most excited to see because we haven't seen him very often, and he's going to do something new. And if he does shit the bed, he shits the bed. But, you know, he's earned this opportunity to be in important matches now.
I keep having to put over CMJ, but, like, his booking of this whole angle has been superb. I was totally against the idea of a big heel group, and the yeah. way he's...
And for the first couple of months, it was kind of crap.
Oh, it's bullshit. Bullshit finishes. I hated it.
Yeah, but they've turned it around so, so well.
It's been the relationships internally within yeah. the group. It's the way that they've played it all out has been... Oh, it's been sublime. I mean, we keep putting WXW over as being, like, the best promotion in Europe, but it's... solely because of they take little and make a lot out of it, whereas some of the British promotions are taking a lot and not giving us a lot back.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, they are using these guys who aren't very well known internationally, and they just said, yeah, we'll spend a few months building their characters up and make you care about them. And it's been that sort of team effort that's gotten them to this point where they can... Like, it's not just on the individual wrestlers to get themselves over. It has been a collective effort. So even, like, playing to the strengths, like, Pete Bouncer isn't the best wrestler in the world, but he has got very good facial expressions and has sold this angle brilliantly. It carried them through the winter, and now he's in a position where he maybe can have good matches because he's gotten over, he's got that character down, and we know exactly who he is. So it's exciting that they can turn the jobber of the group into maybe a potential star, as we'll see.
I thought this is a really strong card, like, all the way through, which a complaint about WXW over the past few years is that while their booking has been really good, I'm not going to say the work rate, but the standard of the wrestling on the shows has not been at the same level as like Progress or Rev Pro. But the standard of this show, top to bottom, was really strong.
Yeah, as we said, Rev Pro at the start, their show was only 6 matches long and it was all killer, no filler. It was kind of the same here. Maybe not to the same extent, but every match had a purpose, you feel. Like, there was no just matches for the sake of it, and everything was driving the story forward.
Yeah. Tag titles. We need to talk about tag titles as well.
Yes. Monster Consulting, the boys did it.
Guys in Monster Consulting. That was a super match as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure I was as high on it as that, but yeah, it was good fun to start off the show. I maybe would have preferred it if it was just them and LAX. I thought maybe JFK were a bit superfluous, but yeah, I understand why they were on there. But yeah, a very hot closing stretch as well, and MC are going to have a very good reign here. They've sort of fallen into the championship position by default, but now they can sort of prove why they have it.
I love what they've done with them, because when they first kind of threw them together as part of the Cerberus reunion, it was like, oh, well, Nero's going to have to do something with his gimmick because he can't be a consultant with Avalanche. That's just stupid. And instead of changing Nero, they changed Avalanche, which I never would have thought of doing that.
It kind of works, though, and Avalanche has thrown himself into it on Twitter and, like, really embraced it. And kind of like CCK last year, it sort of feels like sort of they've made this gimmick sort of more than wrestling. Like, they've made it feel like a fully-fledged brand of theirs, which is a very good thing. Like, they clearly took a page out of CCK's book in order to do that.
Sell some merch.
Definitely. That's the name of the game. T-shirt salesman.
That's right. So, yeah, like I said, top show from WXW, and considering we gave them promotion of the year last year and they weren't delivering to this standard on their... I wouldn't say smaller shows, but like shows that weren't Carrot and Tag League, this bodes well.
Oh, definitely. Obviously, Superstars of Wrestling coming up is... we joke that it's like the one day of the year that we don't have to like WXW. But even this card isn't too bad because it's got Ilya Walter. And also Tony Storm versus FKA Emma is interesting. Don't know if it'll be really good, but it'll be fun, I think, certainly.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. It's usually a fun show. It isn't necessarily always a good show. At least Buff Bagwell isn't on it this year.
Jesus. Do we have any other takes on WXW or otherwise, or should we wrap this one up?
No, I think we're pretty much bang on an hour, so that would be a good good exit.
Yeah, definitely. We've covered a lot. There's a lot of shows coming up as well, obviously. Next time we're here, we'll be reviewing Super Strong Style 16 and hopefully previewing Epic Encounter with Ishii versus Keith Lee 2. Shall we do some plugs on?
You can read reviews of mine over at rearviewreviews.com. I've just covered all of Champion Carnival. Well, not all of it, because like, I've got someone else to do half of it. But yeah, that's been fun. You can follow me on Twitter at Arnold Furious.
You can follow me at Another Ollie. I'm going to be reviewing that True Colors show as soon as I get over my crippling writer's block.
I've already reviewed it.
There we go. Go to Review Reviews, but then also come back to Voices of Wrestling for my reviews. And also read my Euronotes in F4W. And yeah, that's about it.
Sweet.
We will see you next time. Super Strong Style 16, Epic Encounter. It's a big time of year, so make sure you tune in.
I'll see you at the wrestling.